It's always interesting to me how we're shaped by our early lives, the events, the land, the people. They are the feeder streams to our river of life. Our next guest, Bob Gatz, lives in a farmstead near Cushing and repairs instruments, violins, guitars, cellos.
My father was a barber, but they got a divorce when I was five, and so we lived with grandparents on a farm, and I remember the teacher told my mother, he should be an architect, according to some of my drawings that we were making in art class, because I had some kind of perspective, I guess, that for first grade was okay, you know.
Bob grew up in a musical family and made part of his living as a musician.
One side, the South Dakotans were all piano players and singers, and the West Virginia side was all banjo players and fiddle players and cloggers, you know, and all that sort of thing. So my mother played her piano every morning and playing the piano every night. So I woke up every day listening to the piano, and I went to bed every night listening to the piano. You know, that's when she'd practiced before she went to work, and then at the end of the day. So I would sing with her. She taught me how to sing harmony, I guess. We would sing together, and I tried to get her to do some Beatles tunes, you know, at the time, and she just getting onto that groove was just not going to happen. I mean, she was in the classical music groove, you know, but we had a good time singing, you know. Sometimes I would say, let's do it again, you know, and we'd do that 10 times, you know, until you figured it out, you know.
Bob's in his mid-60s and was coming of age during the turbulent times now known simply as the 60s.
I did not go to college. I was during the Vietnam War, and that seemed more important. It seemed more important at the time than me. I couldn't imagine studying, you know, about whatever I might be interested in at the time when the war was going on. So I went hitchhiking for about a year and a half. But I went out to the East Coast, went all over the country, several times. But I ended up on the East Coast about the time they were doing this May Day demonstrations in Washington, D.C., and got arrested with, I don't know how many people, it was like 1,200 people, I think, they arrested. And went to jail in Washington, D.C. for 4 days. But we were supposedly the guests of Bella Abzug and Ron Dellums at the time. That was their point, that we were all invited by them, so we weren't trespassing, you know, on the Capitol.
At the time, he had no idea how that single event in his life would later shape his future in an unexpected way.
The ACLU took up a lawsuit against the government, and they won. In 10 years, they won a lawsuit, you know. And so 10 years later, 81, 82, I got a check in the mail from that settlement for $1,200.
Oh, God.
Now, $1,200 in those days was a huge amount of money. So what I did with that $1,200 is I bought violin books and I bought violin tools. So anyway, that's what really got me started, the money that I got. And it was a real nice little bump, you know, that my grandfather was a carpenter and farmer. And so I learned how to work with wood. And so it's just a logical thing to bring the two together, you know.
Tools in hand, he began to teach himself how to work with these instruments.
You know, I think maybe one of the first things I tried to do was rehair a bow. That's a terrible thing to try to start doing. But there was nobody to work on instruments, so I'd try to find people. And it was mainly the old guys left over from the Sons of the Pioneers, you know, that were still playing the violin. The Sons of Norway up in Brainerd had a fiddle contest and, you know, a few things like that. But there was not a lot of orchestras around.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm down in Cushing, Minnesota with Bob Gatz of Obligato Violin Shop. Bob gave me a tour of his shop, and I decided to tell the story.
I'm going to describe this shop because I really want Jamie to include this in here. It's an amazing little shop. I would say it is 10 by 20. And it's all wood, pine paneling, and there are work benches with fabulous wooden vices, horse hair for bowing, and 13 violins hanging in the window, mandolins, several basses, cellos. The place is just stuffed, and some guitars.
Yeah. Primarily the violin family. I work on a lot of guitars. I'd say two-thirds violin family, a third guitar family, you know.
A getting to know you visit with Bob Gatz would not be complete if we didn't learn about the other half of his way of life, his farm. Bob and his wife, Kristen, raise much of their own food in their gardens. They also raise chickens and sheep, sell the wool and the lamb.
So I found a lady that's going to make me a sweater out of my two pet sheep, you know, one brown sheep and one white sheep. And she's making it right now, actually. And I'm waiting for this next year of brown and white wool to give her some more yarn because she's about half done with it, you know.
Right.
So, but wow. So we sell lamb and sell the manure is a big deal. Why I have sheep, you know, I've got several gardens around here. We try to grow 70% of our food, probably somewhere in there, you know, and the sandy soil needs all the sheep manure it can get, you know. And
a lot of us like to know where our food is grown, but Bob will know where his sweater was grown. Between the farm, the instruments, his wife and three kids, his life is full.
The gardening here, the farming and the gardening is like a necessary, for me, balance of working in the shop here. And all winter I'm in this shop and I love that. You know, I get all the wood up for the heat and I get the food in the basement and then I'm in the shop, you know, and that's fantastic. But it's very necessary to do the gardening thing too, you know, and not just do the shop thing. Now, the gardening thing in the summertime takes away from the shop quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But that's just a sacrifice I make.
With the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.